Let's turn in our Bibles to John 3:16, if you would, and let's read that together in faith. When you get there, say amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Praise God. Well, we're going to jump in this evening and hook up where we were on Sunday. And we've started some lessons or some messages on faith for prosperity. And Sunday we started with just focusing on who is our source. And it's good to feed upon that, and you need to feed upon who is your source. And this evening, we're going to continue with those thoughts, and we're going to touch on what is prosperity. Now, in order for something, if it's God's will for us to prosper, and it's scriptural, then we need to be able to find it in the Bible. Isn't that correct? If it's scriptural, we should be able to find scripture for it, and we should be able to go to the Bible and find out what God's will is for us to prosper. And so we're going to do that. But one of the things that we shared on Sunday that the Holy Ghost had begun to speak to me a few weeks ago is that everything that we do must be done in faith. Because if it's not, first of all, I believe the scripture also says that which is not of faith is what? It's sin. So something that's not done in faith means that, well, let's say it this way. When you're operating in faith, you're walking in what has been revealed to you. Isn't that correct? So then if something's been revealed to you and you don't walk in it, then it's sin for you. See, something may not be revealed to me and it may be revealed to you. So it's not sin for me, but it's sin for you. And I would dare say enough of us that have been in this church long enough, we know. And a lot of times people know and they just say, well, I'm not going to do that. But when something is revealed to you, then we're to operate in it and walk in faith. So that's really where God is with us, that everything we do needs to be done in faith, because without faith, it's impossible. It's not even maybe, but it's impossible to please God without faith. So when we do anything in life, it needs to be done in faith. And Hebrews 11:1, where we started, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. And I'm not going to stay here long, but I want to hook up with that particular scripture verse, because when you look at other translations of Hebrews 11:1, it begins to use words like solid ground, well-grounded, assurance, confidence. But it was the word assurance that caught my attention. It's used in the Weymouth translation and also the Amplified. But when you look up the word assurance, a synonym for that, and you just look in the dictionary, is expectation. When you are in faith, you expect something to happen. You are in expectation. And when you look it up, You can just go to the dictionary and look up the word expectation. It means anticipation. And the basis, this is what the Merriam-Webster says, the basis for expecting is assurance. So the basis for my faith is an expectation, an assurance that something's going to happen. And I'm saying all of that to kind of lay a little thought here, that when you are expecting something to happen, you prepare for it. And it got me to thinking about something, because the Lord just gave me these simple examples to use. When a woman is pregnant, she is expecting. And those parents to be do what? Oh yeah, they prepare for it. They get clothes, they fix a room up or whatever. They're expecting something to happen and they begin to prepare for it. So when you are in faith for something, and I'm going to say it that way, if you are in faith, you prepare for it. So when somebody says, I'm in faith and I'm going to live and not die, when they begin to prepare for something other than that, I'm going to say it's possible. I'm not going to say they're not. I'm going to say it's possible they're not in faith because they're preparing to die and not live. So one has to ask the question, are you in faith? Because if you are, you prepare to live. If you say you believe money's coming, you prepare for it. And as I'm saying this, I believe a few weeks ago when Pastor Judy was teaching on financial intercession, she began to talk about, okay, say what you believe God for. And everybody said, oh, I'm going to be this and I'm going to have this and all this. And that's wonderful. That's a good confession. But she also said, are you preparing for it? Did she not? How many have prepared for that which they spoke since that meeting? Few of you have. Because it got me to sit down and examine me. Am I preparing for the things that I've released words for? Am I? Because if you're not, it's just talk. It's just talk. And one of the things that recently when Shekinah Glory was here, it's what all of these things have been ministering to me. She walked over, Cindy walked over and said, you two, write it down. Write it down. We started. But there's more than just writing it down. You got to prepare for what you've written down. You got to prepare for it. And we've been talking about that. God is showing us some things. And so you've got to prepare for that which is coming if you're in faith. If parents don't prepare for the baby, they're going to be chasing around because it's coming. And it's no different. I ask a question because there's some, because I know people that have said, I'm aspiring to go there and do that. And what did they do to get from point A to point B? They prepare themselves to get there, don't they? So they're still operating in faith. They haven't got there. They don't know that they can have that. But that's their desire. That's their expectation. I'm going there. And they prepare themselves. They go through processes to get there, don't they? So if you're in faith, you prepare yourself. That's my point. Anybody happy over that? You all just, was that just a good speech to you? It got real quiet. It's quiet. No, this is Holy Ghost. If we're going to have something and we say we have it, then you need to prepare yourself. You need to move in that direction, because otherwise it's just talk. And faith without action is D-E-A-D. In other words, it's just talk. Amen. And it goes for all of us. So let's as we do, this is not going to be a long lesson tonight. I hope, trust you, you think we're going to be here long. We're not. 3 John. These are just some thoughts to feed upon. 3 John, if you turn there, we're going to look and see what does the Word of God have to say about prosperity. 3 John, starting in verse 1. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth, beloved, I wish above all things. How many things? All things. Now let me ask a question. When this says, beloved, I wish or I pray or desire above all things, we understand this is John writing this, but the Apostle John, but it's God speaking through John, inspired by the Holy Ghost. So it's God speaking to us. God is saying, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy what? Thy soul prospereth. So you can see here a couple of things just to note. There's a comparison here, really, between the outside, the outer man, and the inner man, isn't there? He's really saying, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. You can't see your soul. So he's really talking about prospering on the inside, comparing it to prospering on the outside. So there's a comparison here. And you can also say he's comparing natural prosperity versus spiritual prosperity. So you can see that in this particular verse. And when you read this in other translations, I'm going to jump down a few of them. The New King James Version says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. And the Worrell's translation says, beloved, I pray that in all things you may be prosperous and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So you can see here that, and we know these things, but we're looking at what does the Bible say about prosperity. As your soul prospers, it has an impact on the outer man. And there's other scriptures that we know of that reflect that. In Proverbs 23:7, it says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So as you think, that's how you are. If you think lack, if you think poor, if you think I can't afford that, then you will. That's what you'll have. And Matthew 12:34 refers to out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. So the inner man has to be changed. The soul has to be changed before it really can affect, and you see an effect on the outer man. And we know that because there's other scriptures. It said in Romans 8:11, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by what? His spirit that dwells in you. So there has to be a change on the inner man, the soul of man, and then you begin to see the effects of that on the outer man. You see the effects in your prosperity, and you see the effects in your body, in your health. Now, a couple of other scriptures. In Proverbs 29:18, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. So when there's no vision, and that word, you know, in other translations, it also, the New Living Translation says, when people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. So when we as people don't receive divine guidance, you won't prosper. So if you are not prospering, you want to see, is it my mouth? Am I not receiving divine guidance? What is it that what is amiss? Because you're going to see in some other scripture that God supplieth all of your need, everything in abundance. And yes, we start at different levels. We start in places where we have nothing. I understand that. But once we begin to find out what God's promises say to me, then I should be on my way, what? Upward. Once I know what is afforded me. If I'm still at the same place with the same stuff, bumping around doing the same thing after 5, 6, 8, 10 years, I need to ask some questions. And just be honest, you might have missed it somewhere. You may have. Another scripture we're talking about inward changes. Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The Good News Translation says, be careful how you think, your life is shaped by your thoughts. Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. So your life is shaped by your thoughts, and you meditate on it enough, you're going to talk that. So as your soul prospers, it affects the outward. And so that's one of the things that the Lord spoke through John. In all things, beloved, I pray that in all things you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So it's the will of God for us to prosper and be in health as our soul prospers. Now, let's take a moment, and of course we've spoken on this before, that issues are really boundaries. If you look that word up, it's extremities or boundaries, you could say. So boundaries, really, if you want to be accurate about it, boundaries in our life aren't set from the outside. Boundaries are from the inside. And so folks may say, well, I don't believe that. Well, there are many people in this world today and have been and gone on that had nothing and didn't have a poverty or a lack mentality on the inside and aspired to greatness. And they just were not restricted by worldly boundaries. And you can name them off one by one. And so we set boundaries in our lives by what we think. And yes, I do understand that there may be some natural restrictions to where we can go and what we can do, but nothing is impossible with God to those who believe. Not one thing. Now let's turn over to 2 Corinthians, if you would, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We're talking about prosperity, faith for prosperity, and what is prosperity? Well, we know prosperity is not just money. That's kind of base, I guess you would call it, but you could have all the money in the world and be losing your mind. That's not prosperous. You could have a lot of money and things, and your family life is a mess. So prosperity covers everything in our life, not just things. So prosperity, let's start reading in verse 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart. So let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is what? Able. He's what? He's able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, not sometimes, always having all sufficiency in some things, in all things, may abound to every good work. So that means here, we're seeing here God's will. It's that we, this says right here, God is able. That means he has the capacity, the wherewithal, the power to do what? To make all grace abound towards you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good, may abound towards you, that you have always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Now, I'm going to read this in a few other translations because it really helps. Sometimes the King James is King James-y. But the Good News Translation says, God is able to give you more than you need so that you will always have all you need for yourselves and more than enough for every good cause. More than enough. That means all your need is met and you've got leftover. You got leftover to give into other situations, other needs. This is some translations that you may not have heard of. This is called the Conybeare, Conybeare. It's Conybeare translation. God is able to give you an overflowing measure of all good gifts, that your wants of every kind may be supplied at all times, and you may give of your abundance to every good work. Well, right away, some go, really? Yeah, really. It's in the B-I-B-L-E. It's God's will that we have overflowing abundance. This says here, an overflowing measure of all good gifts that your wants of every kind may be supplied at all times. Some may say, well, I'm not living in that right now. Okay, but let me ask a question. When you read the Word of God and God says, that's my will, we do what? We take that by faith and we begin to operate in that. We begin to decree that and say, we call those things that what? Be not as though they are. And you begin to prepare for it. This is the 20th century New Testament. God has power. Who has power? God has power. That's what it says. God is able. God has power to shower all kinds of blessings upon you, so that having, under all circumstances and on all occasions, all that you need, you may be able to shower all kinds of benefits upon others. This is the Moffat's translation. God is able to bless you with ample means so that you may always have quite enough for any emergency of your own and ample besides for any kind act to others. Some may say, gee, some folks in the world would say it sounds like a fairy tale. That's not a fairy tale, that's God's word. That's mine. And as a man thinketh, so is he. So if you don't think that's possible for you, you'll never walk in this. You'll never have it. See. The Phillips translation says, after all, God can give you everything that you need so that you may always have sufficient both for yourselves and for giving away to other people. And of course, the way you reap is you need to do what? You need to sow. And I'm going to share this. I shared this on Sunday about who is your source. I was sharing that parents need to teach your children that you aren't their source, that mommy and daddy are not their source, that God is the source. And you need not say, we can't afford that. It's okay to say, we don't have the money for that right now, but let's believe God. Let's pray and believe God for that. It's okay. Begin to train children to do what? Trust and believe God. And once they begin to see things come into the home that didn't come from mommy and daddy, they begin to realize, hey, wait a minute. We're not restricted by these natural means. I can begin to believe God for things I desire. And I would hook up with that and say, it's a good idea to begin to teach your children to sow and discipline themselves to sow. You might say, well, they don't have any money. Do they have a penny? You could teach your children to sow a penny a day. That's 30 cents a month. And once they begin to increase, they could up that to a nickel a day. That's $1.50 a month. And then they could increase that to 10 cents a day. That's $3 a month. So it is possible for children to learn how to sow and to begin to learn how to reap, just like we do. And we need to be disciplined in our giving, not just here and there, but actually disciplined. Because God's word also says we're to bring the tithe into the storehouse that there may be what? Meat therein. Because the tithe, you don't own that. I say it this way, you are beholden to God, you owe God that money. If you made money, you owe him 10% on that money. So it's like, you know how they have in the world, you know, you're either in the black or the red, right? In other words, a business-wise, well, until you pay that tithe, you're in the red to God. You're in the red. So we need to pay our tithe, and it's just a good thing to be disciplined and learn how to sow, so we can sow some things where? Sow it into our heavenly account. And we're going to jump into that at some point on teaching on that, on your heavenly account. This is the Voice translation. I like this. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. God is ready to overwhelm you. I like being overwhelmed. Overwhelm you with more blessings than you could ever imagine, so that you'll always be taken care of in every way, and you'll have more than enough to share. That's the word of God. God is able, and this says ready, to overwhelm you with more blessings than you could ever imagine. I like that. No more small thinking, no more lack thinking. God is exposing and reminding us of what his promises are and how we should think. I'm gonna think rich, prosperous, overwhelmed with things. Not just to have them, but to be in a position. So what does this say? You can help someone else. You can share that. What if you had two or three or four homes? That's not something to laugh at. What if you had two or three or four homes? Not impossible with God, but you'd be in a position to share if you needed to. So those are the kind of things that we need to think, not to be stuck on, you know, how the world has labeled greed and so forth, but it's to be in a position. God wants us to be prosperous in all areas, and it's not just having things, but when this says, in the Connie Bear, and then it says, the 20th century, shower all kinds of blessings upon you. And also in the King James, it says that we have having all sufficiency in all things. So that means you're prosperous and prospering on your job. That means you're prospering in your family and your relationships. That means you're prospering in all areas of your life. And you're also prospering in the Word of God. You're prospering in spiritual matters. If you're not prospering in that, how can you reach out to help someone else? You can't. We're like a little baby, always, you know, give me a bottle, pat me on the back, burp me, you know, cuddle me. No, stand up straight and grow up so that you can be useful for God. And that, not to be hard, but if once we grow up and we're abounding in blessings in all area of our life, then we can be an assist for those that are struggling. Isn't that correct? So God is wanting us to prosper, and it is important that when it comes to prosperity, that it's from the scripture standpoint. This is saying we have all sufficiency in all things. All sufficiency in all things. So my thinking, your thinking, should be exactly what this scripture says. God is making all grace abound toward me, that I am having all sufficiency in all things. And that's my confession. That is our confession. We're not restricted. If I have all sufficiency in all things, then I'm not restricted by a paycheck. I'm not restricted by certain things in the natural. This ministry is not restricted by the income that comes in to do things, which is what the Lord has been saying. Write it down, call it in, prepare for it. We're not restricted by what's going on in the natural. We're calling those things that be not as though they were, but we're calling those things that heaven has ordained. And heaven has ordained that you be prosperous. So you're not calling something, you're not saying something that isn't God's will. You're saying, God is making me prosperous. God is showering upon me more than I ever need or want. And I'm in a position to help others. You're not just decreeing something that's greedy. You're decreeing God's will. And that's where we are when it comes to prosperity. We're looking at what is God's will for us. What is His desire for us? Well, He tells you right here. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. And God is speaking to us as a congregation that we raise our sights up a little higher. And it's going to take faith to do that. We may have been comfortable and living right here. But now God is saying, okay, raise up your sights a little higher. Elevate your faith a little higher and reach out a little further, because I want to do that for you. He's looking for people that will believe Him for the impossible, which is His will. And He really wants to show off on our behalf. Now, I'm going to unhook, but the last thought I'm going to just share here is that in all that we do, that one of the things that has been foundational for me is Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. See, when we get things out of kilt, then it sometimes doesn't work properly. Your family's not first. Your children aren't first. God is first. Didn't say that we have to neglect those things, but it says He's first. God's Word translation says, but first, be concerned about His kingdom and what has His approval. I like that. What is God stamping His approval on? That's what we need to be chasing after. then all these things will be provided for you. This is the message. You know how they do it. It says, steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Just seek God first. And the New Century Version translation says, the thing you should want most is God's kingdom and doing what God wants. That to me says it all. You need to be focused on what does God want? Then all these other things you need will be given to you. And that has been, for me, has been really a foundational thing for me. That all of my other personal desires, aspirations, wants were kind of put behind Him. And all of the things, I don't ever feel like I missed out anything. And I can honestly say that I have chased after God with my whole heart, with my whole energy, and sometimes that's, you know, for some, that's not, how shall I say? For me, it was easy because He was the priority. Now, I do understand that I did not have children and a wife to consider. And those things, if you're in that position, you do have to consider them. If you're married, you have children, you have a responsibility. So there has to be mutual agreement about how you approach these things. I didn't have that. So I could chase after as long and as hard as I wanted. And I did. And so those things, I don't ever feel like I missed out or I lacked anything, because the scripture here says all of those things will be added unto me. So I'll never lack, I'll never come up short, I'll always have more than I know what to do with. I'll always have abundance. And I'm believing here for an overwhelming abundance, so I can be in a position to share. And that's where we should be. We should be raising our sights up. God has been nudging and prompting me to reach out, believe for more, give more. I mean, lately, I know the Holy Ghost spoke through Deacon Bill and said we're in a season of giving, or sowing. And before he even shared that, I've been having this sense to add a little more, do a little more, add more. He's not trying to take from you. He's trying to get something to you. And so for all of us, and it may not just be in the area of finances. It may be giving more of your time. It may be giving more time to prayer. So those things are essential, that we need to seek God first. And if you're going to be a success with God, first of all, it's going to have to be done in faith. And you're going to have to put Him first if you're going to be a success. If you get it out of kilt, it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. Amen? Amen. I'm finished. And we're going to close. Father, we thank You for this evening. Thank You for the words that You've given us to feed upon, to meditate upon in Your Word. Father, we thank You that we're raising our sights higher. We thank You that our faith is coming up higher, and we're walking in a higher plane, and we're expecting bigger results. And we thank you, Father, that we're preparing for them. In Jesus' name, amen.